Blog Talk Radio.
It's not a fluke. It is not a drill. It is not a game. The Toronto Raptors are for real. I stand corrected. I feel like I've stood corrected for a while now. I've sort of already fallen on the sword for not believing in the Toronto Raptors throughout these playoffs. Of course, I believed them in the regular season because, well, they were a good regular season team, and the regular season Eastern Conference was weak outside of three other teams. And really one, when you look at Toronto, the only other team that had anywhere near as good of a season as Toronto did in the Eastern Conference was Milwaukee, which had the best season of them all. Here we are now with the Raptors now. No kidding. Leading 3-1 against the Warriors. I think that if you had polled not just NBA Twitter, but just from the casual basketball fan all the way to the most diehard fan, Raptors in 5 or Raptors in 6 is just not something that you were going to hear. The boldest predictions picking the Raptors would have had them in 7. But Raptors in 5 would have been too ambitious, especially considering the background of this Warriors team. And that's even with the injuries. That's even with KD out. That's even with Klay Thompson turning out to be hobbled as you get into the series. That's even with Andre Iguodala being somewhat of a shell of himself. Given his hamstring issue. Even with that, you figure that the Warriors not only would compete, but more than likely would come out on top in this series. That's what we were expecting. This is not what we were expecting. The history that we were predicting or anticipating was the Warriors' three-peat. And what have we had in this game? Well, I should say in this series. We've had none of what we saw from the Warriors that allowed them to take advantage of Houston, right? We've seen none of that, what was successful in the Western Conference semifinals. I wouldn't say none of it, but very little of that pick and roll with Steph and Draymond Green. You're not really seeing a lot of that. And what you are seeing is a very, very, very disruptive defensive unit from the Raptors. I mean, they've got the best perimeter defender in Kawhi Leonard. And on top of that, they just got a bunch of scrappy dudes out there defending. Serge Ibaka, who I always thought was an overrated defender, particularly going back to his days in Oklahoma City, had 6 blocks, a game high 6 blocks. And was that game 3. And then he doubles back in game 4 with the 20 points off the bench. I mean, you just got to respect it. That's Serge coming off the bench giving you that type of production. I'm trying to find his line now from game 4. But he definitely had 20 points off the bench. And I want to say he had a couple of blocks. Now, he only had a couple of blocks, but it seemed like even more, like he was even more disruptive at the basket changing shots. And so this is just a team that you have to respect. There are no asterisks with this championship if the Raptors go on to win it. There are no asterisks. Because we saw that Kawhi is hobbled. We saw that he's injured. He's basically limping through the entire series. And the guys that you have out for Golden State, look, here's the thing. When you come down to it, you just really can't do the what-if game. You can't do the what-if game, and you can't really watch the games and not acknowledge that the Raptors are just straight up downright competing and outplaying the Warriors. I want people to really legitimately think about this and don't just go with conventional wisdom or whatever the hyperbole might be. But if the Warriors were fully healthy, KD's playing, Iguodala's back to his regular self, the team looks different. They play differently in that scenario. Do we think that this is not still a competitive series on the Raptors' part? Like, they're probably not up 3-1, but would we be surprised if it was 2-2 at this point? Like, have the Raptors not shown, like, the Raptors alone have not shown everyone else enough at this point to be convincing as a worthy champion? I think they should be. Or I think they have done enough. You look at the fact that Kawhi Leonard is a star player and we all expected him to play big, especially after how he ended the Eastern Conference semifinals with the shot and then how he just straight up balled out against the Bucks and outplayed Giannis, who's likely going to be the MVP of the league, just straight up outplayed him in the conference finals. We expected him to have big games in the finals. So he's a former finals MVP, right? But we didn't know that Siakam would be the star of game one. We didn't know that we would get the Danny Green game that we got in game three, where he's hitting all the threes. Was it six for 10 from three for Danny Green in that game? We didn't know that we would get these Serge Ibaka games where he'd have six blocks in one game and 20 points in another. Those were not things I was willing to rely on or bet on, and they've absolutely gotten those things. Fred VanVleet is still the same Fred VanVleet that he's been throughout these playoffs. And we had that one play where he catches that elbow from Sean Livingston to the eye, and there's blood gushing on the ground, and he's just kind of laying there calm. Later on, apparently, he told Rachel Nichols from ESPN that he was sitting there calm because he had a piece of his tooth kind of swirling around in his mouth, and he was doing his best to not swallow it. I don't know why I mentioned that. I just thought it was an interesting tidbit. But it also speaks somewhat to the level of toughness and grit and just the type of cast that we're talking about here, the type of players that we're dealing with. Like, this is a really good team, and it's a worthy champion if they win it. A worthy champion if they win it. I know that there was some doubt, but now we look at it and these guys have 100% flipped the narrative. They've 100% flipped the narrative, and I can't do anything but tip my cap. The Warriors, look, Steph Curry, I really hope that Steph Curry makes it out of this series with his reputation intact, that we don't do this nonsense where it's like Steph isn't good enough to lead a team to a championship. Because while I just mentioned a moment ago that there are no excuses and should be no excuses, and I'm not making excuses for Steph, Steph's been pretty good. He's been pretty good. I mean, he put up 27 and struggled from the field, particularly from three-point line in game four, only 2 for 9. But Steph's been pretty damn good. What they needed back was Klay Thompson, and what we saw in game four was even with Klay Thompson back, they don't have enough against this Raptors team. And I don't know if it was a situation in game four with Klay where he did too much too early, or if they stopped going to him He had 18 shots. So I'm not really sure what more he could have done offensively. Perhaps nothing. But yeah, Klay Thompson coming back and having a good game did not make the difference for this team. And I don't think that's going to be enough against the Raptors in Toronto. And speaking of Toronto, what kind of atmosphere are we expecting? Atmosphere is not the right word. We know what type of atmosphere. The atmosphere is the same in Toronto. The fans are crazy. But what type of – have we seen this level of desperation from the Warriors since – was it a few years ago against KD's OKC Thunder? I mean, we know they were down 3-2 against the Rockets last year in the Western Conference Finals and came back. But that felt a little different. Chris Paul had gotten hurt. That just felt a little different. Like, once Chris Paul got hurt, the air was sucked out of the series a little bit, at least for the Rockets. And it seemed like the Warriors, especially if they were able to get Game 6, would be the team that you would trust more in Game 7. And then the Rockets just collapsed in Game 7. You know, the Warriors were going back home for Game 6. You figured they would win that, especially with no Chris Paul. And then the Rockets just collapsed in Game 7. I didn't feel like the sky was falling as much because of that Chris Paul injury for the Warriors. But the 3-1 several years ago against the KD's Thunder team, is this the last time that the Warriors looked this vulnerable? The last time they were down 3-1? Like, we have not seen this Warriors team, this desperate of a Warriors team. And ironically, they're not going to have KD more than likely. And ironically, the last time they looked this desperate was the last time they didn't have KD. It is going to be fascinating. Fascinating. Because it's history either way. We either get our first three-peat since the Lakers of the early 2000s, or we get the Raptors' first franchise title, franchise championship. And for the first time, the NBA champion is not an American team. So many historical implications here. It will be fascinating. But the Warriors have really pinned themselves in the corner. I should say, honestly, the Raptors did. I mean, let's call it what it is. The Raptors have the Warriors by the balls at this point. It goes without saying the Game 5 is a must-win. The series is over if they don't get it. But I think that this is going to have some legacy implicating stuff going on here, right? There are legacy implications. Like, we have done so much narrative reconstruction that it's almost not even funny. Like, I'm trying to keep track of the narrative now with, is particularly the Warriors, right? So I was confused, or at least it seems like we're trying to have it both ways. Like, we want it to be true that KD and his legacy, KD's legacy is less than or minimized in some ways, because he left and joined the super team and he's playing with the Warriors now, right? He's winning championships. with the team that was winning championships before he got there, and also beat him, came back from down 3-1 to win the championship that they got before him, right before he got there. So on the one hand, you've got Kevin Durant, front runner, joining the team that was already winning championships. But then on the other hand, you've got the Warriors, the team that was winning championships before, or won a championship and going to championships finals before KD got there, but can't seem to win this one without him. Can't seem to win this one without him. So, which is the part of the argument we're going to favor, that KD needed the Warriors or the Warriors need KD? Or are we reasonable enough to acknowledge that both things happen to be true and both things are also okay? Like, I feel like we minimize them both because they came together. The Warriors without KD and KD with the Warriors. Both things can be true. But the Warriors were plenty good before KD got there, but that KD made them what they are, what we know them to be now. You can see on Twitter after game four, some were making the point that without KD, the only championship that the Warriors have is the one that they won against a Kevin Love-less and Kyrie Irving-less Cavs team, a team that, for all intents and purposes, almost any worthy champion could have beaten. Because that's a team that doesn't belong in the finals. A Cavs team, when LeBron came back, a Cavs team without those guys, without Love, without Irving, is not a team worthy of a championship. They were supposed to lose, which is to say the Warriors were supposed to win. People think that with no KD, the Warriors only have one championship. Maybe that's true. Maybe that's true because they showed themselves to not be untouchable in that 73-9 year with the Cavs beating them. And even with KD last year, they were down 3-2 against the Rockets. They have not been untouchable throughout this run, a dynasty no less. Even without winning this series, this is a dynasty. Make no mistake about it. For me, if it's the greatest team of an era, of a generation, which this is, 4 or 5 year stretch, then you got to give it to them. But we're manipulating the narrative. Before, it was the Warriors don't need KD. Now it's, not just the Warriors don't need KD, but the Warriors are better without Kevin Durant, right? That was the narrative before. Now it's, without KD, they would only have one championship. And they're not that good anyway. Like 0 to 100. So quick. Too quick. Allow for some nuance. Allow it to be true that the Warriors were always going to be one of the better teams in the Western Conference and more than likely the favorite in the Western Conference with or without KD. And that Kevin Durant made them the overwhelming favorite. It's also time to acknowledge that Kevin Durant going anywhere is more of a Kevin Durant thing than anything. Like the Warriors were not bigger than Kevin Durant. You can acknowledge that now. We don't have to like the move. We don't have to like his decision to go there. But we have to acknowledge that they were better with him and that it's pretty damn cool if you can go to a team that's that good, that has players on it who are that good, and you can instantly be the best player on the team, which is what Kevin Durant did. It's exactly what Kevin Durant did, and we have to give him credit for that. Like, not for the move, but for just his greatness. How many guys in the league can just go join the Warriors and then be their team? Have people talking about maybe they can't win without him. Not a lot of people can do that. Not a lot of people can pull such a thing off. So I'm fascinated by what's happened. I look at this Raptors team as one that we will be talking about for a long, long time. Mainly because of the characters I spoke about earlier. Pascal Siakam, perhaps the most improved player in the entire NBA. Not a guy that we saw as a number two on a team, a second scoring option, or a guy you could rely on to get the basket in a tough spot. Absolutely became that guy. Fred VanVleet, who I said before, at 190 pounds or whatever he is, you look at Fred VanVleet, or at least I do, and think, man, I should work on my game more. Because there ain't no reason why I can't be out here, or any of the rest of us can't be out here being a Fred VanVleet. It just looks that way watching him play. Kyle Lowry to an extent, too. Like, man, it seemed like any of us could have done that with enough work, with enough effort. Danny Green, a finals hero, if this goes down for the Raptors. Serge Ibaka, somebody who I have for a while said, man, this guy's overrated. Like, to think that the Thunder traded James Harden because they picked Ibaka over him. They knew they had to get rid of one of those two players because they were going to command enough money that they just weren't going to be able to keep them both and have KD and Russ. And they traded Harden for a very replaceable big. But it's Ibaka in the finals, making moves, making memories, making moments. The Warriors could come back from down 3-1 and they would still have, or Ibaka would still have, a more impressive finals record and resume than James Harden. It's just worked out that way for the Raptors. Man, just incredible stuff. And then the free agency implications, right? We talked about this before, but the two best players in this series, only one of them's playing, but the two best players in this series could very well be on different teams next year. And they're arguably the two best players in the league. What does a Raptors win mean for the offseason? Does it mean that Kawhi Leonard stays on with the Raptors either in the short term or the long term? Does it mean that it's for the short term just so they can see if, or so Kawhi can see if he can win another, or if this is actually sustainable over a number of years? Does he take a LeBron type, KD type short term deal? Or is he committed now? Does he leave? Does he say, hey, I did what I had to do there, seen there, done that, done everything I need to do, time to move on and head back to Southern California? Does he do that? Do the results of this game and ultimately this series dictate the decision that he makes? It's an important question. It's one that we've been asking for a while, but I think it's even more pertinent and even more interesting because of the results that we have now. Does the loss, the potential loss for the Warriors, mean for KD that there's unfinished business in Golden State, or is he already out like the rest of us already believe? We believe no matter what, for the most part, I think the consensus is that KD is out of Golden State. Could losing in the finals change his mind? Especially with him not being there. Does he sense a newfound appreciation or value in the fact that they weren't able to get over the hump in both the year before he got there and in the year that he got hurt? Does the Warriors come back, the Warriors coming back to win, does that change? Or how does that change, if at all, KD's thought process? Does that push him out of the door? Oh, they really don't need me. They came back down 3-1 to win the series. They don't need me. Does it do that? That's more of a long-term question. The short-term question is, and I don't think KD's coming back if the series goes 7, but if the Warriors can extend it to 6, send it back to Oracle, does KD come back then? Try to help him to a game 7. Monday night is going to be so fascinating. I'm glad I'm not working. I'm glad I'm going to actually be able to catch the game. Because it's going to be a very, very important one, I think. A very important one in NBA history. As this series has been. No one took the Raptors seriously. Very few did, I should say. Outside of Canada. And we all got egg on our face for it. I mean, that's the real of it. We are having to eat our words because Kawhi Leonard is in some ways the ideal superstar from a basketball perspective. The supporting cast is better than we gave it credit for. And certainly, the moment is not too big for them. Like Siakam, somebody who's certainly never been there. Immediately, we said, okay, yep, moment's not too big. Serge Ibaka, someone who has been here. You know, we've had some questions about the writer's career, and he's, you know, had some diminished skills. Not too big. Moment not too big. Danny Green, been there, done that. Fred VanVleet, young guy. Ice water in his veins. I'm talking about stone cold. Kyle Lowry, who we probably trust the least of them all, given how his career has gone and how the Raptors' history had gone prior to this season. Kyle Lowry, even, seems to be embracing the moment. The moment ain't too big for him. He's just out here trying to see if he can catch another charge. In the lane, that is. Offensive foul, that is. Like, it's just great stuff, man. It's excellent stuff. It is, I think it adds to the intrigue of NBA history, and I think it's something that we'll be talking about for a very long time. A very, very long time.